faces. One day when sin was as black as could be,
Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he.
The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain.
One day they nailed him to die on a tree.
Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he.
Mystery in the dawning of the King, he the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity.
In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come.
Look to
Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us.
Well, good evening again. A big welcome for everyone here. Understanding the mystery, living full in Christ. That's what we're going to be researching. We're going to be parsing out what that looks like. Hopefully what it means to us individually, and more importantly, areas where we can apply it and put it into use on a daily basis in our life. Just a little bit more background, I think, is really important to know and understand about this book of Colossians. We know it was written by Paul while he was in jail, probably around 60 to 62 after death, AD, 60 to 62 AD. Paul most likely had never actually been to this city, but Epaphras, who started the church in Colossae, was most likely with Paul while he was in Ephesus. If you'll remember, on one of Paul's missionary journeys, he spent about a year and a half in Ephesus. And the founder of this church probably was with Paul, came to know Christ during this time in Ephesus, and he then went forward to this city of Colossae and started this church there. Colossae is located in the Lycus Valley. It's about 100 miles east of Ephesus. And there were three major cities that made up this area and location in this valley. The other cities were Hierapolis, Laodicea, which you probably have heard of elsewhere in the Bible, and then again the city of Colossae. Colossae was the smallest of the three, but it was a very cosmopolitan city where different cultures and religious elements came together. The church there was mostly made up of Gentiles, but there was a substantial Jewish population there as well. Because of this, the diverse culture and the different religious elements found in the city, false teachers started springing up and infiltrating the church. Syncretism, which is a fusion or blending of different belief systems into a new religious idea, was prevalent here in the city. So as you had all these different cultures and belief systems, people started mixing them together, creating kind of a new religion, and these false teachers infiltrated the church and were bringing these ideas into the church, kind of denouncing the deity, ultimately, of Jesus Christ. It was also believed that during this time in Colossae, the idea of Gnosticism started taking place and shape. And if you know anything about Gnosticism, the Gnostics would have believed that the idea of salvation could be obtained through knowledge in kind of a mystical way, in kind of an out-of-body experience. So keeping all this in mind, we see that throughout this week, we're going to see a lot of these elements are going to come into play and be made relevant to us and see how they're playing themselves out. And it's no wonder that if you took Judaism, if you took this syncretism, this Gnosticism, combined it with Christianity and these false teachers, as they mixed all these things together, they came up with different views and different ideas of what it might have meant to be religious and have a relationship. But that ultimately is why Paul wrote this letter, to help them understand that that's not the case. And as we parse out and understand again this mystery, living full in Christ, we will begin to see how that impacts our lives. I know most of you traveled all day today. Some of you stuck in traffic. I know it's quite chilly in here and you can't wait to get back to your rooms and grab your coats, warm up. I just have about 99 short points I want to get to tonight. Actually, we're going to talk about three main points before we get you on your way. And I know you're sitting there in this heat, and all you can think of, ice cream in 18 minutes in the back. Before we look to God's word, let's pray. Father, thank you for bringing us here tonight. Thank you for bringing us here this week. Thank you for an opportunity to worship together. More importantly, we thank you for the opportunity for your Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Father, we pray that as we have come here, we know that it is not by accident. You've ordained each of us to be here tonight and this week and for however many days that's going to be. And so, Lord, we just ask and we pray that you would speak to us, that you would soften our hearts, and that you would move our minds to a closer relationship with you. Father, bless this word tonight. Use the weakness of my speech to be encouraging to each person here tonight, and that your spirit would speak through me to each of you sitting in the audience tonight. We love you, Lord. We commit this time to you, and we pray this in your name, amen. So Colossians chapter 1, if you want to turn there. We're going to be looking at the first 14 verses. And I titled the message tonight, Two Prayers, Two Prayers. And again, like I said, we're just going to have 3 points that we're going to talk about tonight, so just please bear with me. Let's read the text. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Our first quick thought that I want to point out to you as we read these first couple verses, that Paul is writing this letter to faithful brothers and sisters, meaning it's a group of believers that are loyal to Christ. And understanding that this group of believers are living in community with each other, with deep affection and deep concern for each other. And if you stop and you think about that for just a second, that's the church that you go to in your hometown. The church where you call yourself maybe a church member. The church where you might call yourself a Christ follower. So as Paul addresses this letter to this church in Colossae, he's also addressing it to you personally, to the Richland Church, to the Portland Church, to the Burnaby Church, to whatever church that you find yourself coming from, not only collectively, but individually, he's speaking to you. As I sit here and I look out over this audience tonight, you're the church. It's not a building. It's you individually. As groups of believers sitting here tonight, I hope you're thinking through how God wants to move in you, not only individually, but when you return home to your church. Back to the text. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that springs from the hope stored up in you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. We'll stop there. This is the second thought. One of two prayers that we see Paul praying for the church in Colossae. The Colossian church was known for their strong faith and their love they had shown to all of God's people. And in verse 5, it says that this faith and love springs or is being displayed from the hope that is stored up from them in heaven. And this is the true gospel, again, not a false gospel that was being infiltrated into the church, but it was the true gospel. What does it mean to be the true gospel? As we think about the gospel, we know the gospel would be the good news. What is the true good news? A lot of times we get something in the mail, oh, that was good news. We see something on the TV, well, that was pretty good news. But when we think about the gospel and what the true gospel is, what is that good news? How is that good news impacting your heart? How is that good news impacting your life? How is that good news impacting your church? A challenge for me this week And I think a challenge for all of us this week is to come to grips with what that gospel looks like and how we are living that out. The good news. What do we do with that good news? A key to doing this, living out this good news, I believe, is found in the end of verse 6. I need me personally. I think we all truly need to understand God's grace. And the end of verse 6, it talks about understanding God's grace. The more we understand what God's grace entails, the more it shapes our lives and it strengthens our faith, it deepens our love, and it increases our hope that this world outside of Christ is missing. Paul identified those three areas, their faith, their love, and their hope, and it's all found in God's grace. Without God's grace, it's impossible to experience those things. And in the world we live in, we see that there's chaos, that there's anxiety, that there's stress without those things in people's lives. Paul's first prayer, a prayer of thankfulness to that church for what they have displayed. Let's move on to Paul's second prayer. Verse 9 picks up. For this reason, and the reason that Paul is talking about here, it's their faith, it's their love, it's their hope. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyfully thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And this third and final thought I want to leave with you tonight before the ice cream. Please bear with me. The ice cream's coming soon. I love how Paul prays this verse 9 for the people that he doesn't even know, probably never been to this city. He wants them continually to be filled with the knowledge of God's will through the wisdom and the understanding that the Spirit gives. I had to stop and think, why did Paul want them to be filled with God's will? When you struggle to know God's will, why is it important for you to know God's will? Looking at verse 10, goes on to say, so that we may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. And it goes on, bearing fruit, growing in knowledge, being strengthened, having endurance and patience, and knowing God's will and living in it, and pleasing him with the effects of what it looks like that we are living out, I believe turns us back to the end of verse 6 of truly understanding God's grace. God's grace. The more we understand it, the more we live in it, the more that we let it wrap itself around our hearts and our minds, allows us to know the will of God for our lives. And out of that will spring all of those attributes that would be displayed as Christ would have us live on this earth and represent him. I want you to think as you packed your bag to come to camp this week. I know some of you on youth choir packed your bag probably almost 3 weeks ago to come to camp. Many of you were packing last night. I was still throwing stuff in my bag this morning. So as you packed your bag and you got here to camp and you unpacked it or looked in it, probably some of us got everything that we needed to have for this entire week. My guess is probably some of us got here and were like, what did I do with my toothbrush? And you forgot your toothbrush. And then some of us who maybe like waited till the very last minute, we started unpacking stuff and there's like multiple things that we forgot to bring to camp this week. There's stores we can go to buy those things and pick some stuff up. But what I would like you to think about and challenge you with as we start this week off tonight is what's in your spiritual bag? What did you pack for coming to camp, spiritually speaking? Did you come ready, fully packed everything that you have to bring in anticipation to have Christ speak to you, to change your life, to encourage you, to prompt you, to think through understanding the mystery and living full in Christ? It would be my prayer, probably Paul's prayer, and as we sit here today, probably everyone's prayer who would say that they're truly following Christ, that would be our spiritual packing. But I know that's not the case. I know when I used to come to camp, I forgot a lot of things spiritually speaking as far as trying to pack it because I just wanted to be with my friends and do fun stuff. And I wasn't super concerned spiritually with what I had packed in my bag. And a few things probably were left out. And I think back even way farther, before I was a Christian, that spiritual bag that I packed was completely empty and I had nothing in it. And I love how Paul concludes at the end of this few verses where he says, for he has rescued us from the domination, from the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. If that spiritual bag that you packed is empty, there's going to be something for you here this week. I'm going to ask that you tonight try to put something into that spiritual bag. Christ wants something for you in that spiritual bag this week. He wants you to start filling it up. If it's half full and you've come here this week, Christ wants you to fill that thing full. He wants you to leave here with that suitcase heavier than with what you came. And I would encourage you that if you came anticipating and expecting my bag full arriving, that we're just going to add some weight into that. We're going to have some encouragement. We're going to have areas where we're going to be able to encourage others. We're going to have some opportunities to learn how we can better share our faith with people and better represent Christ in all we do, talking through the mystery, knowing and understanding how we can live in the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we begin this week, we pray that you would humble our hearts. We pray that you would soften our minds. And Lord, we pray that you would bring people around each of us who could encourage, who can strengthen, and who would be able to speak and show your truth and your love to all of us here today. Father, help us throughout this week to want to learn, to anticipate to learn, and in faith believing, Lord, that you would bring about a spiritual change and a spiritual desire in each of us that would get deepened and grow, our strength would increase, our love would increase, and therefore the hope that we can put in Jesus and speak to that goodness to those around us would be off the charts. We love you tonight, Lord, and we thank you for all that you will do and have done and will continue to do. Father, we pray all this in your name. Amen.
Hello, my name is Josue. I have the privilege today to be able to close service. Everybody could just bow our heads. Lord, we give you thanks, God, today for giving us the opportunity to draw nearer to you, knowing, God, that you bring us here with a purpose and to help us to grow with you each and every day, God. Help us to not leave here the same way we came in, God, knowing, God, that you have words of encouragement to help us bring us together and to be not only a church but a family in Christ, regardless of how far we came, regardless of how we feel or whatever circumstances we're going through, knowing, God, that you love us, that you're here for us, and that we're here for one another, God. Help us to reflect you better each and every day. Help us to grow, knowing, God, that you are guiding us and loving us no matter where we go, Lord. We give you thanks. Help this be a fruitful camp this year, and that we come out more like you and to love each one another more and more each and every day. We give you thanks, God. In your name we pray. Amen.